We'll quickly turn, please, to Luke chapter 10. I want us to consider the verse 20. Luke chapter 10 and the verse 20. The verse 20 reads, "Notwithstanding, in this rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven." It is typical of all of us who are Christians that oftentimes we base our rejoicing on that which really should not nearly occupy us as much as other things that sadly we do not give the same emphasis to. The disciples, returning from what must have been a most successful time of labor, are filled with joy, filled with the thrill of what it is they had experienced as they exercised the power that Christ had given to them and saw that they were able to hold victorious dominion over devils and work wonderful miracles. But the Savior, seeing their joy over these things, pointed them to a better joy. He said, "Rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven." Now, as Christians, we have many privileges that we enjoy from the hand of God. As Christians, we do, while not enjoying the specific blessings that were given here to these disciples. A unique power was granted to them to serve God at that particular time. I don't believe it's a power that is shared by God's people today. But nevertheless, we do have many privileges whereby we do know what it is to live in victory over the devil. We may indeed defeat the devil from day to day, and we should be seeking to do just that. And it's something to rejoice over. The devil is a mighty being. A mighty being. But praise God, frail and all as we may be, through the Lord Jesus Christ, we can gain the victory over him. As it is said in the book of Revelation, they overcame him by the word of their testimony and by the blood of the Lamb. And we can and should be seeking the enjoyment of such ongoing victory over the powers of darkness in these evil times. But here's something better over which we should be rejoicing. And if we are not able to rejoice over this particular matter, we should be seeking by the grace of God to be brought to a place where we can rejoice that our names are written down in heaven. Our names are written down in heaven. And I want just very quickly to extract from the words of our Savior some truths that I trust will be a benefit to all who are gathered here. The first thing I want us to observe is the fact that God has a register of his people. God has a list of his people. The Savior makes that very clear. "In this rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven." That's something over which you should rejoice. That your name is there in God's register. That you're listed amongst those that God claims as his. You know, the names of national Israel were recorded on quite a number of occasions. It was a feature of Israel in these modern times where There are so many registers, and registers, I might just say, in the light of recent events, registers that oftentimes fail and do not serve the purpose for which they were created. But we have so many registers of our names in the National Archives. And we deem that that's a wonderful mark of modern society. Except that it's not. It's not a mark of modern society. Because right back in the most ancient of times, when Israel first became a nation, God had a list of their names. God had a list of their names. If you look at Exodus, and that brings us right back to the early days of the history of the nation of Israel. Israel became a nation. In Exodus, the chapter 32, you find there a reference to what obviously must have been a national register. Exodus chapter 32 and the verse 32. And here is Moses, and he's praying. If you read from verse 41, you see that. 31 rather, you see that. Moses returned unto the Lord and said, "Oh, this people have sinned a great sin, and have made them gods of gold. Yet now, if thou wilt forgive their sin, if not, blot me, I pray thee, out of thy book which thou hast written." And the Lord said unto Moses, "Whosoever hath sinned against me, him will I blot out of my book." God had a register. God had a register of those who made up Israel. And you find, as I said, references to this fact, that there was a listing of all the people that belonged to national Israel. In the first book of Chronicles, the chapter 9 and the verse 1, again, there is a reference to the fact. Now, many years have passed, many centuries have passed in the life of the nation of Israel, but this business of keeping a register of those who were Israelites is obviously being maintained. 1 Chronicles chapter 9, verse 1, "So all Israel were reckoned by genealogies, and behold, they were written in the book of the kings of Israel and Judah, who were carried away to Babylon for their transgression." So right up until the Babylonian captivity, the record was kept, kept most diligently. You could literally find out who your father was and his father and his father and his father and right on by. Is there not these records given us in the Bible? I know those are the chapters when you come to in your Bible reading, you say, "Oh, all those jaw-breaking Hebrew names, I'll just skip over." But you know, there's a very solemn reason why God ever put such a record in the Bible. If only for us to recognize God keeps a record of those who are his. And the Savior is pointing out that. There's a register in heaven. There's a register in heaven of those who belong to the Savior. Revelation chapter 13 and the verse 8 refers there to the very book of life. And those in heaven will find their names in that book. But God knows those who are his. That's what Paul said to Timothy, reminding Timothy of the comforting truth that God knows those who are his. He doesn't fail to recognize or look after any of his flock. He knows each one of them. Sometimes we may find ourselves, we believe, and probably rightly so, that we're overlooked by others. Our families may overlook us, it seems. Our companions in Christ may overlook us. Nobody seems to see the difficulties we are in and take note of us, but God knows those who are his. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and the verse 19, "Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, The Lord knoweth them that are his. And let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Christ in John 10 says, I know my sheep. I know my sheep. I don't know if you know much about sheep farming. I suspect there are those who do in this part of the world. But there's nothing more perplexing, to me anyway, that when three or four flocks of sheep are all mixed up together, how do you ever separate them? How do you know which is which? It's a most perplexing thing. But I'm sure to the shepherd, he has his ways. But certainly to the great shepherd, he knows his people. I know my sheep. I know my sheep. There is a register. Is your name on it? Is your name there? Don't be rejoicing. Don't be rejoicing that you're going to heaven and yet you've never thought seriously. Is my name there? Have I any proof of it being there? You're rejoicing in a false hope if you haven't investigated the matter. Let me tell you that going back to earthly or national Israel, the records of Israel determined a person's standing within the nation. It was consulted, and it was the arbitrator of whether or not a person was to be deemed a true Israelite and therefore afforded the benefits and the privileges of an Israelite. You remember we mentioned Babylon. Then there came the day when many of national Israel returned from Babylon. And they assembled again in the ancient land of Israel and around the city of Jerusalem. But there were doubts about some, because while they had been in Babylon, there had been marriages doubtless outside of Israel. Children were born of these unions outside of Israel. Men marrying Babylonish women. Israelite women marrying Babylonish men. And there would thus have been a mixing of the bloods of the nations. What about the offspring? Were they or were they not to be reckoned as part of the people of God? In Nehemiah chapter 7, we read where Ezra is searching and considering this whole business of who was and who wasn't to be considered a member of the nation of Israel. And what was it that he turned to when he was doing this? It was, of course, the register. It was the register. That's where he found the list of those who were deemed to be Israelites. He could trace their ancestry, and when their name was not found, their ancestry was not found in the register, well, then they were put out. They were not to be reckoned amongst Israel. They were to be refused. In chapter 5 of Nehemiah, verse 5 of Nehemiah chapter 7, we read, and my God put into my heart to gather together the nobles and the rulers and the people that they might be reckoned by genealogy. God put it in his heart to check out who was and who was not to be deemed a true Israelite by looking at the register. God did that. And I have no doubt that this was an earthly representation of that register that there is in heaven of all those who are the true Israel, that is, the spiritual descendants of Abraham. You can see, and I leave you to read right through that chapter 7 of Nehemiah. It's one of those chapters with all those long names. But that's the purpose of those list of names, so that it might be known who was and who was not a true Israelite. And in the verse 60, we discover that there were those who couldn't show their father's house. They couldn't show their ancestry, their genealogy, that they were linked to Israel. And so they were discounted as Israelites. Can't you see the lesson that's there? Can't you see what the Savior is saying? Rejoice not in these experiences that you have just passed through, O my disciples. Rejoice in this, that your name is written down in heaven. If your name is not written down in heaven, the blessings of heaven you will never enjoy. You will never enjoy. This is something to investigate. This is something to check up on. Have you done that? Or have you come through life so far? My father belongs here. My father is a member. My father saved. My grandfather was saved. And I'm part of that family. I'll be all right. Yes, your grandfather's name may be written down in heaven. Indeed, he may be there himself. Your father's name may be written down in heaven, but is yours. Because if that name is not on the register, it will not. You will not be found there. You will not enter heaven. That's what the Savior is pointing out to us very simply then in this text. I must press on and conclude something else from what the Savior says. It's clear we may know that our names are written down in heaven. You would have to know that your name's written down in heaven before you can rejoice over it. So it's just an exercise in simple logic, therefore, to conclude that what the Savior is saying here would tell us that we may know that our names are written down in heaven. All too often amongst those who would deem themselves the most orthodox of the orthodox. And when you talk to them about salvation, they'd say, oh, well, now I'm hoping. That's not enough. That's not the basis upon which we run our lives. I hear you're going to America. Oh, yes, have you bought your ticket? Well, I'm hoping. Well, I can tell you now, you'll not get on the plane if all you have to show is a hope rather than a ticket. You've got to do the booking. You've got to make sure of it. You've got to know my name is written down. Before I came over on Thursday evening on the old Liverpool ferry from experience, we decided we'll ring up just to make sure that the thing didn't sink last night. And there's no ferry. These things can happen. Sure enough, the ferry had been late. It wasn't going to be sailing until much after the hour that it was planned to sail. And had we gone down at the time, we'd have been sitting there for I don't know how long. You've got to check. You've got to check. Oh, how many things in life we do by appointment, by getting our name down. We can't do it otherwise. We can't do it otherwise. Well, dear friend, so it is in heaven. Don't just you assume that you'll be there. The Savior is indicating that this is something that we may be sure about, that we may investigate and receive assurance over Paul when he wrote to the Corinthians in that lovely portion in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. It begins indeed with the words, we know. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, an house not made with hands, eternal in the heaven. He knew his name was in heaven. He knew. He knew. And it wasn't just a knowledge that apostles alone could share, because he said, we know. Didn't say, I know. But he's writing to the church at Corinth. And he says, you, the people of Corinth, who are saved, and I, we know. We know. It's a blessed privilege to know that you're saved. You may know it. We love to sing, do we not, blessed assurance? Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. You may know today. You may know today. Please, don't go through life basing your hope for heaven on the fact you attend church, you're associated with those who love the Lord, surely it'll be all right with you in the end. That's not knowledge. That's not knowledge. Assurance is being able to hold in your hand a certificate that says, I'm for heaven. Well, you can do that. Because the Bible is God's certificate. And those who are saved can read in it assurance. Assurance that they're saved. We may know that our names are written down in heaven. There are a number of evidences. Time doesn't permit me to go into it now. But there are a number of evidences that show that our names are written in heaven. Because before you can be sure that your name is there, there has to be something written on your heart. And that's done when you're born again. You know what it says in Ezekiel 36? A new heart also will I give them, and I will write my word on their heart. And the one in whom the word of God is written, they're living out the word of God. They're living by the word of God. They're walking in submission. They love the book. They desire with all of their inward being to obey the word of God. And where you find that in a person, their names are written down in heaven. That's a proof of it. That's a proof of it. If you love the people of God, I mean really love them, you love other Christians, you care for them, you bear them up, you're concerned about them, you're anxious that in all things they will glorify God. Oh, my mother's 96. And she's still taking me by the hand and I'm toddling along beside her. Because she still has a mother's heart. If I'm going away, make sure you wear your coat. Don't forget to. And all the things that you would have said 60 years and more ago, she's still saying. She can't give it up. She won't give it up. I've tried very hard to persuade her to stop worrying. No, it's impossible. It's impossible. The bond is there. The link is there. It's written on her nature. It cannot be. And if you're a child of God, you cannot but love the people of God. And if you love the people of God, it's because your name's amongst them in heaven. I'm going to go to the last point that I wanted to make. If your name is in God's register, it's something to rejoice over. Oh, it's something to rejoice over. This is the chiefest of all joys, my dear friends. It's the chiefest of all joys. I mentioned my mother. She comes from that age when people really did know hardship. Oh, it makes me mad when I hear about people in poverty lines and hardships and all the rest of it today. They don't know what they're talking about. They don't know what hardship is. My mother came from an age when there was hardship, and consequently, she hears about people and how they're doing, and if they have a good job and things are going well for them, she's pleased, and she, oh, did you hear that fella, he's got a great job. And I always say to her, yes, Mum, but is he saved? And she'll then, yes, that's the chief interest, that's the real matter, isn't it? My dear friend, it's not our passage through this life that ought to be the source of our joy, but it's where we're going in eternity. That's what ought to be our chief joy. Remember Moses? He chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Well, old Moses thought it out. I can sit here on the throne. I can be the greatest king in this whole region. I can inherit all the riches of Egypt and the pomp and the glory and everything that goes along with it and die and go to hell. or I can suffer a reproach with that bunch of slaves out there whom God Almighty has chosen as his, and at the end of the day go to heaven. Now, it didn't take a lot of brain power to work out which was the best course to take, and he took it. He took it. What a joy it is, men and women, to know that your name is written down in heaven, to know that you're saved. I'll just list what I was going to say. It's a purifying joy. Whom having not seen ye love, and whom though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. That's the joy it brings to you. Wonderful joy. It's heaven's joy. It's not that mad joy that the world seeks after, but it's a deep, blessed, purifying, sanctifying joy. It springs from knowing your name is written down in heaven. It's a foundational joy. That is, without it, all other joys disappear. All other joys are non-existent. It's a joy that is the ground and basis of all joys and bliss. Everything tastes sweeter, everything looks more beautiful and is more glorious as a result of being saved. Heaven above is softer blue, earth around is sweeter green. Now that I belong to Jesus, now that I belong to Jesus, it makes the prison cell a happy place. It makes the hospital bed a happy place. It makes the death bed a happy place. Saul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God at midnight, even as their backs ran red with the blood of the beating they had endured. Oh, do you have that joy today? Is your name written down in heaven? Back home in Ulster, you know, voting is a very important thing. You don't have the percentages turning out to the poll that you get here in this land. Back home, in my area, it was 70%, I think, in the recent election. Oh, folk get out to vote because it's important. And the older ones would always be saying to the younger ones, is your name on the register? Is your name on the register? Make sure you get your vote. I say to you today, make sure your name is in God's register. Seek him for that work of grace that Ezekiel chapter 36 and the verse 26 refers to. If you're not saved today, come to Christ. Come to Christ. If you don't, heaven you will never see. May the Lord bless his word to our hearts.